wonderful, majestic world around us, it's time for Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
This week on Dear Science, I chatted to Marcus Jones over the phone about a new public database of AI predicted protein structures, NASA's James Webb telescope renaming after LGBTQ plus claims, and COVID vaccines having a higher approval in less affluent countries. Let's start with the first story about this new public database of AI predicted protein structures.
Sure. So we know that scientists know the shape of proteins, proteins are the main things that are made from nucleic acids, and they determine so much in our bodies. And very often the shape of these proteins are really important in determining how they work and what they do in the body. And it's really difficult and really slow to actually figure out using experiments the shape and the structure of these really quite big molecules. And so there's been a big push in recent years to see if we can figure out these shapes using computer modeling. And so last week, a couple of groups unveiled the culmination of several years of work by scientists, biologists, physicists, unveiled these advanced modeling programs that can predict the precise 3D structure, the sort of atomic structure of proteins and similar sort of molecular complexes. And so this has a huge payoff. One of the groups managed to solve or figure out the structure of 350,000 proteins from humans and different organisms such as E. coli, yeast, and fruit flies. And these are all mainstays of biological research. And in coming months, this list is expected to expand to cover pretty much all cataloged proteins. That's about 100 million different molecules. And so this work comes from a group called AlphaFold, which is a company that's based in the UK, and it's owned by Alphabet, which is a company of Google. And we talked about this on the show, I don't know, about a year ago, I think. But the problem because this company reported some really highly accurate predictions of protein structures, but they didn't release exactly how they'd done it or what they'd done. And so it led to another group, a group at the University of Washington in the U.S., coming up with a different protein prediction algorithm that they released just a couple of weeks ago called RoseFold. And when they released this, they made all the algorithms publicly available. Once they'd done that, the original company, AlphaFold, released all of their algorithms. And so now we have two really powerful protein structure prediction tools that both use AI, both use artificial intelligence to try and solve these protein structures.
These are accessible to scientists across the world now, these databases?
They are now, and the algorithms themselves. So scientists can take the software now and say they've figured out a different protein, or they've come across a new protein and they want to figure out what the structure is. This software is now accurate enough, or it's becoming accurate enough, that it will actually predict the structure with a very high degree of precision. And more work needs to be done and is being done to confirm this, but they think this is 90%+ accurate. And so this is going to save a huge amount of experimental work ultimately, and enable all of these structures, all these different proteins, to be solved really very, very quickly. It was taking years and years and years, decades, to work through all the proteins that we've come across. But this could potentially do it in a matter of a few weeks even.
Wow, that's an incredible advancement. Let's move on to the story about NASA looking to rename the James Webb Telescope. Can you tell us what happened there and his involvement in persecuting LGBTQ plus people?
Yeah, so you may know that NASA is planning to launch the successor, I guess, to the Hubble Space Telescope later on this year. And this has been a telescope that's been under development for more than a decade. Nearly two decades. It costs about nearly $9 billion, and it's going to be the flagship science instrument for NASA for probably many years to come. And it was named. It's named the James Webb Telescope, it was named after one of the earliest, in fact, the second administrator of NASA, which is slightly unusual because normally the science instruments are named after scientists. But some astronomers are arguing that this observatory will memorialize discrimination after reports that allege that James Webb was involved in persecuting gay and lesbian people during his career in government. So there is an investigation ongoing, and some people say this has to be done immediately. We have to rename the telescope. Others are saying there's not yet enough evidence against him. He was head of NASA from 61 to 1968, and others are sort of withholding judgment until the agency has finished their internal investigation. In May, some of these allegations came out, and four prominent astronomers then launched a petition to change the telescope's name, and that has amassed 1,250 signatories, including scientists who had been awarded observing time on the telescope already. NASA administrator, the former NASA administrator Sean O'Keefe, who named the James Webb Telescope in 2002, when it was in the early stages of development, made this unilateral decision, which was sort of surprising, to name it after James Webb, who was one of the early NASA administrators. Webb died in 1992 and was a bureaucrat who held several administrative roles in the U.S. government. And Sean O'Keefe chose to name the telescope after him because he had strongly advocated, even in the time of the Apollo program, that NASA keep science as a key part of its portfolio. And he was a champion of the role that science played in NASA missions. O'Keefe tells Nature that he wasn't aware of the accusations when he picked the name, and he does support keeping it unless more information surfaces. And he says that without James Webb's leadership, there may be no telescope or not much of anything else at NASA noteworthy of a naming controversy. This is an ongoing thing. When Webb was beginning his career with the U.S. government in the late 1940s, gay and lesbian employees were being systematically rooted out and fired because of their sexual orientation. And this was a campaign encouraged by several prominent members of Congress at the time. And this period is known as the Lavender Scare, which echoes the anti-communist Red Scare, with which it was often intertwined. And during that, gay people were cast untruthfully as perverts who might be desperate to keep their sexual orientation secret and thus be susceptible to revealing government secrets under blackmail. The epicenter was the Department of State, which handles foreign policy. And this was a place that Webb worked for some time. And it is currently unclear how closely he was tied to this policy and the actions taken during that time. But the four astronauts in particular, astronomers in particular, who are leading this petition, say it's even being tied, peripherally to this time, to this persecution, means that we have to rename the telescope.
My goodness. It'll be really interesting to see what comes of that and what comes of their inquiries. Hey, let's move on
Absolutely.
To the COVID vaccines having a higher approval in less affluent countries. Tell me about that.
Sure. So this is a quite a short story, but this is a survey that was started in, I think, June last year, and it's continued for the last 12 months, and that's also just being reported, but it shows that people in 10 low and middle income nations are generally much more eager to receive the COVID-19 vaccine than people in two particularly wealthy nations where the vaccine is plentiful. And the people were found to be much more willing to receive the vaccine than those in the United States and also than those in Russia. So we have, I've just got the numbers here. So people in 80% of individuals surveyed in 10 lower and middle income countries in Asia, Africa, and South America on average were willing to receive the vaccine compared to just 65% in the US and only 30% are willing in Russia to receive the jab. And this suggests that ensuring equitable access to COVID-19 vaccines worldwide is not only a moral imperative, but a powerful way to stem the spread of the virus. And lower levels of hesitancy in these countries make widespread vaccination easier. To understand the hesitancy in these more wealthy countries, like Russia and the United States, the team asked respondents whether they would be vaccinated once COVID-19 jabs became available, and why they made what the reasons were for their decisions. And nearly half of the respondents in lower and middle income countries identified community health workers as the most trustworthy sources to help them decide whether to take the vaccine. And the results showed that these workers and other community leaders are really central to successful vaccination campaigns. Worries about vaccine side effects and efficacy were the top reasons people would refuse the vaccine. And this was not then a sort of a conspiracy theory. They were not deeply hesitant because of some sort of conspiracy that they'd heard. It was really just worries about the side effects and the efficacy. Now that there is some uncertainty about the validity of these results, because when the survey started, very, very few people had received the COVID-19 vaccine. And so there's certainly, when safety concerns were raised over the AstraZeneca vaccine, for example, that had immediate knock-on effect in vaccine perceptions in countries like Nigeria and others. But it presents compelling evidence that vaccines must be made available in lower and middle income countries immediately, and it creates a moral appeal to countries that are hoarding vaccines, maybe like the US, maybe some of the other wealthy countries, to make them available to countries that really need them.
That was Marcus Jones on this week's Dear Science. He aha o whakaaro, we would love to hear your thoughts on any of these pieces. So tuku patuhi mai, you can text us on 5395 or give us a call in studio on 309-3879.
Well, I didn't know that before. Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.